P-86. Principal point, Solar City, Sanctuary.
Utterly remarkable,
the principal gasped with a wide smile as Leisha's body appeared to materialize from thin air in one remarkable instant, reacting in a manner more positive than Dan had expected or even considered a realistic hope. The diminutive alien then stepped down from his seated platform and walked in a slow circle around the messenger from New Kerguelen. Depp, too, was pleasantly amazed by Leisha's sudden appearance. Although he didn't speak, his expression left no doubt. Did your ancestors pass down tales of races such as this? Billy asked the Smalls, unable to keep his inquiring mind quiet. Their answer would tell him a lot.
A race such as this has never been imagined,
the principal replied, studying Leisha as though he was a rare work of art.
In what ways have your lives been enriched by his friendship? Is the power to appear and disappear at will, such as he just did, shared by your esteemed selves, or is it his alone?
His race has unique attributes, Dan replied, taking an evasive approach before anyone else could jump in with more detail than necessary. He paused for a moment to compose his next thought, which he hoped would be decisive, then delivered it. We sought today to discover how he would react to passing your gateway and whether certain abilities would function within the conditions of your world. Sadly, while our craft was being pulled towards your landing site, some of his abilities proved impossible to utilize.
Such as what?
The principal asked, his tone soft and concerned rather than accusatory or in any way uneasy. We crossed the gate in a far larger mothership, Dan replied. And we must reach it in order to return home. The craft we touched down in was overpowered by a force native to this planet, and it seems that this same force is also curtailing the power our friend would ordinarily possess to carry us directly to the mothership.
Oh,
the principal said, stepping back to look up at Dan. It was a long way up. Can you disable whatever force was at play during our involuntary landing? Dan asked, taking the most straightforward route. With a nod, the principal climbed back onto his seated platform. He proceeded to press a single unseen button on the right side of the chair's base, then looked back towards Dan.
Like I mentioned earlier, he said, we did not know the incoming craft was yours. The attractive force I enacted simply pulled the craft to our landing site for examination. I do not know why any other powers your friend ordinarily possesses would be affected by this. Your craft is now free to fly, but I hope you will not leave us so soon. I have many questions about your friend, and I am more than willing to answer the questions you have on account of the history that has seemingly been lost to time.
Our planet mates expected our trip to be extremely brief, Dan said, far more comfortable in speaking a truth such as this than he had been when trying to keep track of the white lies required to explain why he was on Sanctuary at all. We did not even plan to land. As we said, this trip was conducted for experimental purposes. They will be fearful something has gone wrong.
In that case, you must go and tell them all is well,
the principal announced with a selfless urgency that made Dan's opinion of him move from fairly neutral to decidedly positive.
If you are able to grace us again with your presence in a day's time, you can witness the eclipse and gaze upon our Mother of Sacrifice. Praise be upon her,
Depp dutifully and enthusiastically chirped. Billy Kendrick cleared his throat. A day's time? It's happening tomorrow?
We have to go home, Tara replied out loud.
Absolutely, Dan added. Billy, we can't even think about staying. The principal nodded in understanding.
Needless to say, you are welcome to return.
There wouldn't be enough time, Billy sighed. It's not enough time for us to return home, report our results, and prepare for another trip. It can't be done. These words were true and upsetting for Billy, who knew it would likely take a great deal of effort to convince the population of New Kerguelen that the gateway to Sanctuary should remain open above their heads at all, much less that another crossing was desirable so soon. Despite all of this, though, Billy's lifelong quest for knowledge and his borderline obsession with ancient alien theories quite simply wouldn't allow him to miss a chance like the one that had just reared its head. "But whatever my friends might state to the contrary," he began, "your offer to gaze upon the statue, praise be upon her, is much too kind to pass up." Dan didn't have to ask Billy what the hell he was getting at. His eyes made the concern as clear as could be. "As a lowly assistant, I may not be authorized to answer the questions you have about our remarkable friend," Billy went on, pointing towards Leisha as he spoke to the principal. "But I am authorized to seek details of the history that has been lost to time. If my lone presence is welcome, I would be honored to stay behind while my friends return home to report our initial results and until they can return once more." "Are you out of your mind?" Dan silently fired at Billy. Tara had a hard time staying quiet, but bit her tongue and likewise rebuked the recklessness only telepathically.
"Billy," Leisha added, "I really don't think this is your best idea."
"You said this eclipse happens once every 4 years," Billy smiled at the principal, addressing him but really meaning the words for his own friends. He then pointed to the statue that loomed large beyond the lookout's glass wall. "And I would rather die than miss my chance to see her face."